Thank you. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and the darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, saw that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. For 4 more days, God continued to form and mold the earth according to his perfect will. He made it a paradise with all manner of plant, fruit, fish, and bird. On the 5th day, God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." So God created a human, a man, in his image. He formed him from the dust of the earth, and he gave him life by breathing into his nostrils. On the 7th day, God rested, surveyed the world he had created, and he was pleased. He blessed and sanctified the 7th day and pronounced it holy. The earth was in readiness for the future arrival of God's own Son, destined to be the Savior, the light of the world. Over many years and many generations, the earth's population grew, and events occurred that would ultimately lead to the birth of a very special infant. Everything was orchestrated according to God's plan. As time passed, scribes began predicting a birth, but no one knew when or where the wondrous event would occur. This birth is described so beautifully in the Old Testament in the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 6. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace."
Light looked down and beheld darkness. "Thither will I go," said light. Peace looked down and beheld war. "Thither will I go," said peace. Love looked down and beheld hatred. "Thither will I go," said love. So came light and shone. So came peace and gave rest. So came love and brought life. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us.
The light of the world. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." John 8:12. During the Advent season, we have lit 4 candles in the Advent wreath, one for faith, one for hope, one for love, and lastly, one for joy. Light all the candles. Yes. As we have come to the actual celebration of Christ's birth, we light the 5th candle, the light of the Christ. This candle sets in a different position in the wreath and a different color because no other candle can compare to it. This 5th candle is a symbolic of the life of the world, Christ our Lord. What good things this light brings to all of us, and how its radiance dispels the darkness of the earth. It gives us all the qualities of life represented in all the other 4 candles of the Advent wreath. There is always great expectation for the people of the earth because of the sacred light, Jesus the Christ. On this Christmas, may this light shine brightly to cast out the darkness of sorrow, wrong, and hatred in the lives of people. Indeed, at this holy season, may Christ's light, like faith, hope, love, and joy, glow in the hearts and lives of people everywhere. May we pray.
Father, we do want to thank you for this time, Lord. And now I want to thank you for this evening. For it's Christmas Eve, and we know this is the night that we celebrate the 4th of the evening of the Lord. God, we thank you for that time. Had you not come in the world to live and then to die for us to raise again, Lord, but the individuals who are perpetually in a state of unforgiveness. God, all the grace and mercy that would be bestowed to us couldn't be, Lord, because the sacrifice wouldn't be eternal. God, we thank you for that fact that it is. We thank you that we're forgiven. But we're far from perfect, and we're still sinners. But we live in a forgiven state by virtue of your blood that was shed for us. And none of that could have been possible without you coming to earth through the office of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin and being born this tomorrow morning if you recognize it. Lord, I pray that you bless everyone here tonight, that you comfort them in the understanding of this, that you give them a good day tomorrow. But God, we want to thank you for this incredible sacrifice and love you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Shepherds gaze in wonder. While angel voices sing. Tonight the night has come and brought the world the long-awaited King. The earth is filled with gladness, and yet the heavens weep, for heaven's eyes can see you were born to die for me. That a tear in your eyes, Jesus, sweet baby Jesus, you must know you were born to die. Must have broken God's heart, for the future he could see. Yet he formed the hands and feet, knowing one day they'd be nailed to a tree. So all the world could know him, save for this day. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus. Tear of love in your eyes, Jesus, sweet die. Oh, Jesus, baby Jesus, with the gift of eternal life. My Jesus, Jesus, 'cause for me you were born to die.
About 25 years ago, Christmas was much as it is now. A tree with lights, midnight mass, Christmas dinner. But times were hard for some families. I know they were hard for us because my brothers and I were orphans. My paternal grandmother had stepped in with very meager, sometimes non-existent resources. She set out on a daunting journey to rear us. Having already gotten her own 9 children off to a start and out of the nest, she felt it up to the task. However, rearing 3 small children in the 50s and 60s was different than it had been in the 30s and 40s, especially since her dear husband had passed and she was alone. Mama, as we called her, was quite a character. Those of us who knew her remembered her as having a quick wit and a hard-working, kind soul. She could make a grand meal out of nothing, and boy, did she love a game of cards. Even if she wasn't feeling well, she'd play auction all night long. Her bark was worse than her bite, although those of us who had been on the receiving end of it didn't think so at the time. This one Christmas, however, things had gone from bad to worse. With no such thing as assistance available to her in those days, her only sources of income were a small veteran's allowance, our family allowance, and her pension. With such limited funds, extra for 3 small children were in short supply. Thankfully, one of our relatives was a farmer, so some meat and fresh vegetables were usually available. But the light bill was overdue. Wood was burning low, and to make matters worse, the oil tank was threatening to run dry. Poor Mama was in quite a fix with all these problems to shoulder alone, and many nights when we went upstairs to bed, we heard her downstairs at the kitchen table lighting a cigarette, her only luxury, and drinking a cup of tea. She stared out the window at the dark, wishing, I suppose, for some sort of miracle. Well, I guess God listens to such wishes, for some sort of miracle did happen. To a 12-year-old child, it's kind of tough, I guess, knowing there isn't much for Christmas. I was glad my brothers were younger, one only a baby. They wouldn't realize the difference as long as Santa left something. None of us kids could comprehend how serious things were until 3 or 4 days before Christmas, when our water pipes froze from the cold. All of a sudden, we were without water. Mama had been forcing herself to ration the wood and oil in an effort to make them last a bit longer, but the winter wind was relentless. This seemed to be the last straw for her, with the added threat of the power being shut off and still nothing for Christmas. She did something we had never seen her do before. She slowly walked over to her favorite chair at the end of the table, sat down heavily, folded her arms on the table, put her head down and cried. shuddering sobs so deep and for so long that we stopped our play and sat quietly. It scared us to see her so upset and utterly hopeless. And I think even as young as we were, it dawned on us that something was wrong. As if on cue, we heard a knock at the door. Mama tried to compose herself. She smoothed down her ever-present apron and answered the door. She wasn't expecting anyone, certainly not the tall, thin, silver-haired gentleman who asked if he could come in. He sat and talked for a while. You see, she seemed to know who he was, and we children went back to our play. After a bit, he got ready to leave, and I guess our young eyes, he appeared taller than he actually was. Before he left, he reached into a deep pocket, took out a white envelope, which he pressed into Mama's hand. She thanked him gratefully, but left the envelope unopened until after the gentleman had gone. He wished us all a Merry Christmas, then left. With hands shaking, she opened the envelope and looked inside. As if in a dream, she slowly sat down in her chair again and once more put her face in her hands and cried. This time we all began to cry. It was too much. Frozen pipes, maybe losing our lights, fuel running low, Mama crying twice in one night, this time after a stranger passed her an envelope. What was in that envelope anyway? Another bill? More bad news? With tears on her cheeks, Mama said, "No, no, don't cry. It's wonderful news. See what's in this envelope? It's Christmas." She opened it up. Wow, a fresh, crisp $100 bill. A fortune. Certainly in those days it was. Well, poor Mama, she almost flew to the telephone and arranged to drive to town the next day. She was so happy and we were so glad to see her smiling face again. She helped us get ready for bed, and indeed, the teapot went on the stove very quickly that night. Out came a pen and a paper, and as we went upstairs, a list was being compiled and a budget carefully stretched. The next day, with the youngest of us in tow, the other two in school, Mama set off for town with her prearranged ride. Somehow, maybe more Christmas magic, that $100 bought a lot of happiness. First things first, the electric bill was secured, wood was ordered, some oil was dispatched to be delivered to the house, and she called a neighbor in to fix the pipes. With the necessities covered, she carefully rationed what was left. On Christmas morning, excitement was pretty high. Santa had come. Something nice for everyone, and I can still remember what I received. It was a beautiful brown sweater with a butterfly design on the front. It was so warm, and I loved it. Also a book for me to read. I loved to read. The boys were so pleased with what Santa had left, trucks to play with, puzzles to put together, and no doubt a hockey stick had appeared too. In an effort to keep us all believing, there was even a pack of cigarettes under the tree for Mama. Given the circumstances, I'm sure it was her only comfort in those hard times. Christmas dinner soon followed, and I honestly don't remember if we had a turkey. As I said earlier, Mama was a wizard at making the most out of nothing. But even $100 only goes so far. It didn't seem important because whatever we had for dinner, we were warm and comfortable and so happy. I do remember the wonderful smell and delicious taste of Mama's brown sugar cookies and creamy fudge. She must have been up all night. She was so relieved and happy after that, I'm sure she must have believed in Santa from then on. For in her darkest hour, her prayer had been heard and a miracle arranged. Even after all these years, as a mother of four wonderful children of my own, I still remember that Christmas. And I can only imagine the despair she must have felt. I later learned a silver-haired gentleman was a local businessman and politician. His visit must have appeared to be a miracle to Mama, for how he knew of her troubles, she could only guess. All he asked of her was that she was not to mention the deed to anyone. She never did reveal his identity. Since that long ago Christmas, our benefactor, well, he's passed away and so has Mama. But there isn't a Christmas that goes by that we don't think about her. We still love and miss her. I think even through the struggles, she managed to instill in us a love for the Christmas season and a belief that God hears our prayers and sometimes even answers them.
I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and mild and sweet their songs repeat, peace on earth, goodwill to men, and the bells are ringing. Like a choir they're singing, and in my heart I hear them, peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. Hate is strong and mocks this song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. But the bells are ringing like a choir singing. Does anybody hear them? On earth, goodwill to men. Then rang the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor does he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then the ring singing on its way. The world revolved from night to day. A voice, a chime, a chant sublime. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. And the bells, they're ringing like a choir, they're singing. And with our hearts you'll hear them. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. They're like the angels singing. Open up your heart, you'll hear them. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Peace on earth. goodwill to man.
Thank you. Sure.
The birth of the Christ child. These passages were taken from Luke 1, 26 through 31, and Luke 2, 1 through 20, and Matthew 2, 1 through 3, and 7 through 12. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest." And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them at the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there was born in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And so it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him,
Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Throughout the world, Christmas is a holiday of deep and moving significance, a religious observance with heart and mind, a festival of rejoicing with light and spirit in the conquest of darkness. From the beginning, centuries ago, it has remained in the soul, always coming, always growing. Months in advance of the Christmas anniversary, with its great and good gifts, its rich blessings lie hidden under a heavy burden of material substitutes. But gradually, kind thoughts and generous deeds replace all the mundane elements. These elements seem to vanish as lighting up time, the time when the Christ returns to the earth in celestial splendor to remind us of his birth and his message. There comes to everyone a sense of inner vision, of peace, of brotherhood, of gratitude for faith and love and life. Ever since the coming of the Christ, Christmas has been seen to illuminate the vision of splendor and to reaffirm the shining glory known in Bethlehem almost 2,000 years ago.
Thank you. Thank you all for joining us this evening. We've had a really good time presenting this to you. We hope that it's been meaningful for you, and we wish you a very Merry Christmas. We wish you lots of good prayers together as families, and we look forward to seeing you. Merry Christmas.